You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Caperso, our Head of International Economics. Joe, good to have you on again.
It's great to be back.
Now, we are continuing on our theme of a circular economy, which we talked about on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, where you laid out what is a circular economy versus what is a linear economy. Can you remind us before we get into today's podcast about what a circular economy is?
So instead of take, make and waste, circular economies also reduce waste by reduce, reuse, recycle and recover materials. Now we call those the four R's. As a general rule, reduce is best, followed by reuse, recycle and recover.
So in the note we're talking about today, you've spent some time calculating circularity, really to provide an in-depth look at the Australian economy and how circular it is. But how do you even start to calculate circularity and take into account those four factors?
Well, look, it is a relatively new field of research. There are several ways of calculating the circularity rate. What we've done is put together two pieces of information. One from the Australian Bureau of Statistics Waste Accounts and the other from the United Nations International Resource Panel's Material Accounts. Now, the circularity rate is simply the amounts of materials recycled, reused and recovered compared to total material used in the Australian economy.
Oh, that makes sense when you put it like that. So when you calculate that rate for Australia, how do we look? And especially how do we look compared to some of those other economies that we know are probably a little bit further advanced in terms of thinking about a circular economy?
Yeah, so look, the circularity rate is measured from 0% to 100%. No economy is anywhere near 100%. We estimate for Australia, the circularity rate is around 5%. Now, that's a long way from 100%. Now, we do acknowledge that there is uncertainty about this estimate because we are using two different data sources, one from the ABS and the other from the UN. Another issue is that we don't have estimates for material reused in Australia. But compared to other countries, Australia's 5% circularity rate is well below the global average of 8 to 9%. And a long way below the leader, the Netherlands, of 25%.
We have been hearing a lot in our recent podcast when we focused on ESG factors, that how far advanced Europe is.
Yes.
Not just in terms of thinking about a circular economy, but also in terms of things like green bond issuance, green fiscal stimulus and things like that. So I guess that is probably no surprise when we compare. Now, when you have done your research, is there any particular reason why Australia's circularity rate is lower compared to some other economies? Is there anything about our economic structure or our industries that has, I guess, fed into that lower rate?
I think at least part of the reason is that Australia has relatively large, what you might call extractive industries, like agriculture and mining. So we shouldn't be too surprised that our material use is going to be relatively high. Now, while I haven't calculated for other countries, I can imagine countries like Canada and New Zealand are relatively high as well.
So what are the implications of Australia's relatively low circularity rate and how can we, I guess, go about improving it?
So our low circularity rate just highlights the long journey that Australia has to decouple economic growth from our material footprint. So increasing circularity from low levels implies a reduction in the use of newly extracted materials. It does not imply a reduction in the use of materials. And that's because materials can be reused, recycled, recovered over and over again. Now, in the transition from where we are today to a more circular economy, we're going to have to make really big changes to the way economies are structured. So, for example, manufacturers are going to need to use cleaner energy sources, redesign products to reduce waste and pollution, and allow easy disassembly of products to improve their reuse and recycling. And a good example that we can all think about is changing batteries in mobile phones. Mm. How many people do you know have successfully done that? Mobile phones are designed to not be have their batteries replaced. So I think those sorts of things can lead the way in making a more circular economy.
There's also implications on the trade side as well. So Australia has a relatively large trade surplus in materials compared to other economies. Is that going to impact, I guess, how we interact with other countries as well?
It certainly could. Some countries, such as the United States and the European Union, are thinking about putting on what they call a carbon adjustment fee. Mm. And that would be to discourage the use of high carbon intensive goods. And of course, Australia is a big exporter of carbon intensive goods like coal and gas, for example. So if other countries were to change their policies, it can affect Australia because Australia is a small open economy that is going to be affected by other countries' policies.
I guess that really brings us to the so what of talking about things like a circular economy, talking about reductions in carbon emissions, is that Australia is a small open economy. We are going to be more impacted by how our trading partners and how major economies look at progressing climate change goals, goals around circularity, reducing material use. So it is just a reminder, particularly I think with President Biden now in power, and we did speak to Kim Mundy on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, how that may impact Australia. But I guess we're looking at the so what, like will there be a market consequence? Will there be a price consequence if Australia doesn't make progress? Or in contrast, if we do make progress, what are the benefits from doing so? And in your note, you did talk about thinking about what happened back in 2001 as an example of what could happen.
Well, that's right. I'm old enough to remember what was going on back then. So look, if the circular economy becomes a major theme driving financial markets, and it could well do that, the Australian dollar and other Australian assets could well come under selling pressure. And there is precedence for this. During the dot-com bubble of the late 90s to the early 2000s, the Aussie dollar was sold heavily in part because Australia's exposure to mining and agriculture got it labelled old economy. And that, because it was happening during the tech boom, Australia really stood out there as not having a large tech sector but having a large mining and agricultural sector.
I think so that was when the Aussie dollar reached its low, wasn't it, around 48 US cents?
47.1 US cents, if I remember. So, look, it can become an important market theme. And if it does, then Australia does sort of stick out there.
And we did see that certainly on the bond front as well in recent times, where some central banks globally, big investment managers, are starting to look at how using green bonds or using lack of goals on climate change to influence their investment decisions as well.
Yes, certainly is becoming more important.
Joe, great to get your insights on how circular the Australian economy is, and I guess the so what of that is something we could see in the future. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now you can read Joseph Caperso's report on how circular is Australia's economy, which was published on the 17th of February 2021 on combankresearch.com.au.